Tonight is the yard site of the Arizal. Tomorrow is the yard site of the Arizal. The Arizal was Nifter on the fifth day of the fifth month of the year. Av is the fifth month. Tonight is the fifth. Hey, Av. Just as Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was Nifter on the fifth day of the fifth week of Sfira, Hoyd Shabahoyd. And both the Arizal and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai are known for their revealing the secrets of the Torah. They began to reveal what we call Pnimius HaTorah, the part of the Torah that Mashiach is going to reveal, the part of the Torah that was hidden at the beginning of creation, the hidden light, the Or HaGonuz, which is hinted in the first test of Chumash in the word Es HaOr Ki Toiv. The pasuk says that Hashem saw that the light was good. Vayara Elokim Es HaOr Ki Toiv. There Rashi says this was not the light of the sun and the moon, this is the hidden light, the light of the future, the light that will illuminate in the future. That light was put away. That light lasted for 36 hours, the Medrash says. That first test in Chumash has four tagin on it, four sort of apostrophes on top of it. Says the B'nai Yisachar, because it's to tell us nine times four is 36. This light lasted 36 hours. It was hidden in the Torah in the 36 Masechtos of Shas. Every generation has 36 tzaddikim, hidden tzaddikim. And our parasha begins with the word Eila, Eila HaDevarim. This week is Parashas Devarim. It's Shabbos Chazayin. And it's no wonder then that this Sefer of Chumash was taught in 36 days. What is the idea? Eila HaDevarim, Eila is equal to 36. The Baal HaTurim says, because Moshe Rabbeinu began teaching Sefer Devarim on Rosh Chodesh Shvat until Zayin Adar, that's 36 days. The parasha ends talking to us about the conquest of the kingdom of Og Melech HaBashan. And part of it was given to an individual whose name was Yair ben Menashe. Yair ben Menashe is mentioned in Navi very rarely, but he's mentioned a few times, and he's mentioned in the story of the conquest of the city of Ai, Ayin Yud, in Sefer Yehoshua. There we are told that approximately 36 people were killed in that battle. Tell us Chazal, there was only one person who was killed, Yair ben Menashe. He was killed during that battle, and Yehoshua considered that defeat, even though it was only one person that was killed. And tell us Chazal, Yair ben Menashe is equivalent to 36 of the Sanhedrin. That's half of Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is 71, 36 is half. Yair ben Menashe was equivalent to 36 people. We also learn in this parasha that Og Melech HaBashan had a bed. The pasuk tells us that he had a bed that was 9 by 4. Hine arsoi eres barzel, teisha amos arka ve'arba amos rach. But 9 by 4 is, of course, 36. Teisha amos arka ve'arba amos rach. But 9 by 4 is 36. So, what do we make of all of this? What does this have to do with the fact that tonight is the yard site of the Arizal, the fifth day of the fifth month? We are beginning the fifth sefer of Chumash now. We always begin Sefer Devarim as we enter the fifth month, the month of Menachem Av. The month of Leidas Mashiach. Tisha B'Av is Leidas Mashiach. In fact, Tes B'Av, if you spell it, Tes Yud Tov. Tes B'Av is Begematria Mashiach Ben David. Because Tisha B'Av is destined to be the day of revelation. Right now it's a day of total concealment. Right now, Tisha B'Av is a day of darkness, as we say in Eicha, B'machshakim Hoshivani, the opposite of the hidden light. Choshech v'loy or, says Yirmiyahu in Eicha, a day of darkness, not light. And yet, when we look at the first tests, which this is Tes B'Av, we look at the first test in Chumash, which is the Or Ki Toiv, says Rashi, it refers to the hidden light, the light that will illuminate in the future, and the light that will illuminate in the world of Mashiach, which is the world of eight. That will be revealed on Tisha B'Av. That's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he heard his cow mooing, he knew that meant that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, as Chazal tell us. And then when it mooed a second time, he said that's when Mashiach was born, on the same day. On the day that it seems like everything came to an end on the same day, the beginning. It was the dawn of the Geula. The dawn of redemption starts on Tisha B'Av. We know that the 22 days between Shavuos and Tammuz and Tisha B'Av correspond to the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, meaning that Tisha B'Av is the Tuf. Shavuos and Tammuz is the Aleph. Tisha B'Av is the Tuf. Tisha starts with a Tuf, which is the last letter of the Aleph Beis, which is when we come to the end. Tisha of the Tuf, but the of starts with an Aleph. We reach the end, but we start over again. And this, on Tisha B'Av itself is that new beginning. In the morning of Tisha B'Av, we're sitting on the floor. In the afternoon, we're sitting on regular chairs, and we're wearing towels and tefillin again. In the morning of Tisha B'Av, we're not. We are mourning. We are aveilim. We have Efer Tachas Pe'er, as Chazal tell us. But in the afternoon, we're sitting on regular chairs already. We already are looking forward to the Yeshua. This Shabbos is known as Chazoin. Shabbos Chazoin. Rabbi Yitzchak Barditcheva said that on Shabbos Chazoin, every Jew is shown a vision of the third Beis HaMikdash. We know that it exists, whether we see it or not, but the fact is that every Shabbos Chazoin, we are shown a vision of the third Beis HaMikdash. Chazoin Yeshayahu. The first two words of the Nevuah of Yeshaya, which is the Nevuah that we read this Shabbos in the Eichot tune in most communities, begin with the words Chazoin Yeshayahu, which can also be translated as the vision of salvation. Chazoin Yeshayahu. We're being shown the Yeshua. The great Yeshua that we're all looking forward to, we get a taste of it the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, in the hope that Shabbos will extend into Tisha B'Av, especially this year. This year it falls out exactly as it did the first time. The first time around, Tisha B'Av was on the first Tisha B'Av, the one, in other words, in which the Churban occurred, the one in which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That wasn't the first Tisha B'Av, but the one in which the Churban Beis HaMikdash happened was on a Sunday, as the Gemara says in Megillah. This year it's also Sunday. We go straight from Shabbos into Tisha B'Av. The hope is, of course, that we'll extend the Shabbos into the Yom Shekulei Shabbos HaMenucha L'Chayei HaOlamim, and that the Avelus will be over. The Shabbos will permeate, will penetrate the week. The fact that it's Motzoi Shabbos, which is a time that we are singing the Zmiros of David and Eliyahu on a normal Malava Malka night, the hope is that this week we'll be able to do the same. When we read this parasha, Parashas Devarim, which is known as Shabbos Chazoin, we notice that the Torah seems to elaborate about a few topics more than usual. And one of the topics that the Torah elaborates on here is the conquest, the defeat of Og Melech HaBashan. It's very interesting because the story of Og Melech HaBashan is told already before in Parashas Chukas, but with very little detail. All it says is that Moshe encounters Og Melech HaBashan, and he's afraid of him. He's not afraid of the other giant, that was the brother of Og, Sichon, and he conquers the land of Sichon, and he kills Sichon. But when it comes to Og, the Pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe, Al tira oso, do not be afraid of him, for I'm going to deliver him in your hand, and that's what happens. And the Pasuk says, Vayaku oso, and that's it. There's no detailed description of who Og Melech HaBashan was. There's no talk of his bed. There's no talk of all the cities that he had. There's no talk of his kingdom. But in our parasha, the Torah elaborates. First, at the beginning of the parasha, we're told that Sefer Devarim is taught, Acharei ha-koisoi e-sichoi melech ha-emoiri asher yoshev b'cheshboim ve-eis oig melech ha-boshen asher yoshev b'ashtorois b'edrei, that this Sefer, Moshe Rabbeinu, begins after he wiped out Sichoin and Oig, and Rashi explains, because this way Moshe could say to them, had I admonished them before, they might say, what did you do to help bring us into Eretz Yisrael? But after I killed Sichon and Og, the two giants, the twin towers, that were trying to prevent Bnei Yisrael from entering Eretz Yisrael, now they can enter Eretz Yisrael, so now Moshe teaches them Sefer Devarim, which Sefer Devarim is sort of the Musa Sefer, preparing them for their entrance into Eretz Yisrael. And there Rashi tells us, Og Melech HaBashan asher yoshev be'ashtorois. Ashtorois are cliffs and steep mountains where Og Melech HaBashan lived. And Rashi tells us, this is Ashtorois Karnayim, where the Rephoim, which was a nation, lived way back in time. We go back to Parshas Lech Lecha, where we learn about the war of the four kings against the five kings. And there it says, Vayaku es refoyim ba'ashtra es kanayim. And Oig was saved from them. The Oig nimlat mehem, which would make it that Oig Malach HaBashan is quite old here. A few hundred years old, according to this. If he was living in the time of Avraham Avinu, Vayavay ha'polit, and Rashi's saying this in Pshutei Shel Mikra. Rashi's not saying that this is a medrash. Rashi's saying this is the literal understanding of what's going on here in Chumash. This is that famous refugee, Vayavay ha'polit, in Parshas Lech Lecha, who comes to tell Avram that Lot was captured. And then it says, Vayishma Avram ki nishba achiv, nishba, which is the same letters as Habashan. This is Oig Melech Habashan. He's the one that remained from that famous battle, that world war that occurred in the time of Avraham Avinu. He's the refugee that came out unscathed from that war, and he still exists. And according to another opinion, this is the Oig Melech Habashan that was from the time of the Mabul. By Yishoyer Ach Noyach, says the Baal HaTurim, Ach Noyach is begematria Oig. What is it about Oig Melech Habashan that he's living so long? What is it about him? He was saved from the Mabul. He was saved from the war with the four and the five kings. And here, the Torah not only tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to kill him, but the Torah goes into detail discussing with us all about this individual, which it doesn't say the first time around. The first time around, we're not told any details. Here it says, Vanefen, at the end of the parasha, Vanefen Vanal Derech HaBashan. The Jews went through the pathway of Bashan. And then Oig Melech HaBashan comes out towards them, and Hashem says again, don't be afraid of him. We're repeating the story. And then we go into details that there were 60 cities, Shishim Ir, called Chevel Argoiv. 60 cities that belonged to a strip known as Argoiv, a strip of land, Mamleches Oig Bashan, the kingdom of Oig in the city of Bashan. When all these cities, the Pasuk says, were fortified with walls, with high walls and doors and bolts, we wiped them out, we destroyed them. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael, we took the land away from them. And then again, only Oig Melech HaBashan remains Miyesa HaRefayim, and his bed is an Erez Barzel, is a bed of metal. It's 9 amas long, it's 4 amas wide. I mean, does anyone really care? We have to know how large the bed of Oig Melech HaBashan was. We have to know all the details. Yeah, okay, so say he was very tall. Why tell us the exact size of his bed? Why go into all the details? And the interesting thing is that the Torah repeats a certain phrase here 3 times. And that is this Chevel Argoiv, this strip of land known as Argoiv. And Rashi tells us, he bases it on the Targum, says that it means the palace. Chevel Argoiv mitargaminam beis plach trachayna. The palace of Oig Melech HaBashan. So you can imagine the tallest man probably who ever lived. That's what the Gemara describes, that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was 10 amas, jumped 10 amos with a stick that was high 10 amos, and he only reached his ankle. And that's how he kills him. So obviously this is the tallest man that ever lived. In the Guinness Book of World Records, they don't write that, but they just don't know. But Oig Melech HaBashan was definitely the tallest individual. So you can imagine what his palace looked like. You can imagine how great he was. The Gemara says that they were once walking through caves, and they realized later that this was the hollow area of the bones of Oig Melech HaBashan. And then the Torah tells us who received this portion of land, who received the Chevel Argoiv, who received this strip of land, the Argoiv, which is the kingdom, the palaces, the 60 cities of Oig Melech HaBashan. It was given to an individual known as Yair ben Menashe. Yair ben Menashe, that individual was equivalent to 36 people, as Chazal tells us, says he took that Lokach es kol Chevel Argoiv. Vayikro isem al Shemayas HaBashan Chavos Yair ad HaYoyim HaZeh. Why do we have to know all of this? What does this have to do with us today, especially? Every year we learn this, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. What does this have to do with Tisha B'Av? And then at the end of the parasha, we read how Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, "Es Yehoshua tzivesi, I commanded Yehoshua at that time. Moshe Rabbeinu was preparing Yehoshua for his role in taking Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So I commanded him and told him that he's going to see with his own eyes that whatever I did to these two kings, you're going to be able to do to the kings in Eretz Yisrael. Don't be afraid of them. Hashem is going to battle for you." And that's how the parasha ends. The word Yehoshua here is written with a vav. Very unusual. In fact, in Chumash, it's the only time. There's Yehoshua with a vav. Yehoshua tzivesi. Why is Yehoshua written here with a vav? And basically, as we've been talking about the last few weeks, we find ourselves now in the Bein HaMetzorim. We find ourselves now in between Shiv Osar, Betamuz, and Tisha B'Av, known as Bein HaMetzorim, between the constraints. He said, this is the narrowness, this is the most difficult time right now, this is the time of Avelus, especially this week, the week of the 9 days. Tisha B'Av and Shiv Osar, Betamuz correspond to Sicha in an Oig. The Megala Amukas tells us, the Megala Amukas, who was a Kadmai, writes that Sicha in an Oig were the klipos of Esav and Yishmael. And that would mean that Sichain is Esav, he represents the Tumah of Esav, he was not from Esav, he was an Amori. But Sichain represents Esav, and Oig Melech HaBashan represents Yishmael. So says the Megala Amukas. And actually it's hinted in Rashi here, which I found interesting, because Rashi tells us here that Moshe Rabbeinu says, he's telling Klal Yisrael, when I greeted Sichain, I sent him a letter of greeting, hoping that we can get along, hoping that he'll let me pass through his land without going through any battle. So it says, Vo'eshlach malochem mimidbar kedemois. I sent agents from the desert of Kedemois to tell Sichain words of peace and ask him if I can please pass through his land. So Rashi says, what's midbar kedemois? So Rashi tells us, even though Hashem never told Moshe Rabbeinu to greet Sichain at all, but lamadati mimidbar Sinai, I learned from Midbar Sinai, which is from the Torah, shekodma la'olam, the Torah that preceded the world, kedemois, that when Hashem came to give the Torah to the Jewish people, first he went to Esav and Yishmael. Rashi mentions these two nations here prior to the Torah talking about the detailed conquest of Sichain and Oig, hinting to us that Sichain and Oig represent Esav and Yishmael. And we see that Moshe had no problem with Sichain. Moshe was able to deal with Sichain, but he had a problem with Oig. He was afraid of Oig, he was not afraid of Sichain. Now, Chazal tells us he was afraid of Oig because Oig had a schus. What's the schus that Oig Melech HaBashan had? That he went to tell Avraham, Vayovay HaPolot, he went to tell Avraham that Loit was captured, and Avraham went to save Loit, and because of that we have Malchus Beis David, because as we know, Rus is a descendant of Loit, and so is David, and so is Mashiach. So when that's a chus, that Oig served Avram and let Avram know that his nephew was captured, so Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Oig Melech HaBashan. That's what Chazal tells, Rashi brings it down. Oig Melech HaBashan came to Avram Avinu on Pesach. That was Pesach, when Avram runs after the kings. That's why he was called Oig. Chazal say, why was he called Oig? That wasn't his real name. Oig comes from the word Ugois. Ugois Matzois. Oig means a circle. He came on Pesach when Avram was baking matzahs. And that's why we call him Oig. Why? Because his whole intention, even though as Chazal tells us his intention was that Avram should get killed so he could marry Sarah, and yet he's rewarded for this, which teaches us, of course, that one is rewarded for any good action that he does, even if the intention is evil. Now imagine the schar that we get for that which we do with the proper intentions. Oig here wants that Avram should get killed. Oig's intention is, to begin with, that the Jewish people shouldn't even exist. There shouldn't even be a Jewish nation, because Avram has not yet even had his bris milah. And Oig's intention is that Avram should be killed. Oig comes on Pesach. Oig is trying to bring doubts in Amunah. Pesach is the antif of Amunah. Avram is the Rosh L'Ma'amin, and he was the first of all the ma'aminim, v'hemin b'Hashem v'yachshaveh lo yitzadokah. Avraham is the ma'amin, we are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, because we are descendants of Avraham Avinu, the first true ma'amin, the first true believer, which Pesach is the yom tov of Amunah. Matzah, as we know, is the food of faith, as the Zayar says, mechla d'bahei menusa. Oig is the le'umazeh. Oig is Tisha B'Av. Oig is Tisha B'Av, which Tisha B'Av and Pesach are two opposites. Pesach is ge'ula, Tisha B'Av is golus. Tisha B'Av came about because of lack of faith. That we read in this week's parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, when he repeats the story of the Meraglim, "Uvadover hazeh einchem ma'aminim." You don't believe. You don't believe that Hashem can conquer the land for you. That's why there was a Tisha B'Av. Because of the story of the Meraglim, which is also elaborated on in this week's parasha, because the first Tisha B'Av is a result of the Meraglim. The first Tisha B'Av, which is when it was decreed that Bnei Yisrael will not enter Eretz Yisrael, was because of Chet HaMeraglim. So Chet HaMeraglim belongs in this parasha because this is the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. And in this story, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Uvadover hazeh einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem Elokeichem." You don't believe in Hashem. What does that mean? You don't believe in Hashem? Of course, they believe in Hashem. You don't believe in Hashem's capabilities. You don't believe that He can conquer Eretz Yisrael like He did in the past to Mitzrayim, like He took care of you in the desert. So you don't believe. It's lack of faith. It's lack of faith that brings Tisha B'Av. It's faith that brings us Pesach. Avraham is the ma'amin. Oig is the koifer. Oig, who represents Tisha B'Av, we'll see why in a minute, he comes to Avram on Pesach. He's trying to destroy Pesach. What we're supposed to do is bring Pesach to Tisha B'Av. He's bringing Tisha B'Av to Pesach. And he is he is anti-Avraham Avinu. What Avram stands for, he's the opposite. He's the klipa of Yishmael. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to deal with Sichain. Moshe Rabbeinu has a hard time dealing with Oig. Why? Sichain is Shavasa B'Tamuz. Sichain Melech Heshbain. Sichain is, as we said, who represents Esav. Shavasa B'Tamuz happens in the month of Tamuz. Tamuz is the month of Reuven, as we discussed previously and in previous years. Every month is a different Shevet, and the 12 Shvatim, the way they travel in the desert, Reuven is fourth, Tamuz is the fourth month. The month of Reuven. Reuven was chet. His chet was the impulsive character that he had. Pachas kamayim, and because of that, he moved the bed without asking. He lost the kahuna and the malchus. That's what happened to us in Chodesh Tamuz. In Chodesh Tamuz, we made an egel. The egel was an impulsive act. We made a cheshbon. We miscalculated. Sichain melech cheshbon, and because of that, we had to deal with a sichain. With sichain melech cheshbon. Moshe Rabbeinu has no problem dealing with Sichain. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to kill Sichain. Moshe Rabbeinu is Misaka in Reuven. We find later in Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yechi Reuven va'al yomais. Reuven should live and Reuven should not die. The chait that he, with Bilha, should not be mentioned, as Rashi says. Reuven should have Olam Hazeh, he should have Olam Haba. Moshe Rabbeinu is Misaka in Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu is Misaka in Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel. After the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to calm Hashem's anger then. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim for 40 days and nights, bringing us the Luchais Shniyais, bringing us the second Luchais, and giving us Yom Kippur. So Moshe Rabbeinu was able to deal with Shavasa B'Tamas. Shavasa B'Tamas is the result of the ego. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to deal with that. Moshe Rabbeinu was Misaka in Reuven. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in the portion of land of Reuven. So therefore, Sichain Moshe Rabbeinu was able to conquer. It's not a problem. He's not afraid of Sichain. But And the land of Sichon, which is Cheshbon, was given to Reuven. So we see that Sichon is connected to Reuven. And Reuven and Esav are connected because what's the reason why his name was Reuven? Because his mother says, Reu ma bein beni leben chami. Look at the difference between my oldest and the oldest of my father-in-law, Esav. Esav sold the Bechorah to Yaakov, but yet contests that it's his and wants to take it away again and wants to prevent Yaakov from being buried in the Marz HaMakpela. Reuven had the Bechorah taken away from him and given to Yosef. Not only he doesn't want to kill Yosef, he tries to save him and take him out of the pit. So Reuven is in contrast, we're comparing him to Esau, as we mentioned. Reuven is Odin. Reuven is the red stone on the Choshen, and Edom is there's the red nation, Midas Hadin. That's Tamuz. That's Sichain Melech Heshbon, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to deal with that. But when it comes to Oig Melech HaBashan, we see a totally different attitude. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Oig Melech HaBashan. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Tisha B'Av. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Yishmael. Tisha B'Av already, which was a result of the Chet HaMeraglim, affects Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says himself here, Gam bi his anaf Hashem beglalchem. Because of you, I Hashem got angry at me too. I'm also being affected by the Chet HaMeraglim. The Chet HaMeraglim, which is the Chet of Lashon Hara and lack of Amunah. The Chet HaMeraglim, which is Pegam in Re'iyah, because they looked at Eretz Yisrael the wrong way. That's Oig Melech HaBashan. Oig Melech HaBashan, the Arizal says that in Oig Melech HaBashan was hidden the spark of a great Tana whose name was Shimon ben Nisanel. Shimon ben Nisanel, we just read in the previous parak in Pirkei Avos, Shimon ben Nisanel is the Yerei Chet of the five students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shimon ben Nisanel, it says, let's close the door, please. Is the Yerei Chet. Could leave it open a little bit. That's why the Arizal says, Oig Melech HaBoshan, Boshan is an acronym for Shimon ben Nesanel. Shimon ben Nesanel is hinted in the words, Al Tira Oisai. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, do not be afraid of Oig Melech HaBoshan. Who is Moshe afraid of? He's afraid of Rabbi Shimon ben Nesanel. He's afraid to kill Oig Melech HaBoshan because in him is Rabbi Shimon ben Nesanel. Al Tira Oisai is Begamatria Shimon ben Nesanel. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't be afraid. There'll be a Shimon ben Nesanel. Don't worry about it. Whatever Oig had to do in this world, he already accomplished. I guess his descendants are already there. Shimon ben Nesanel will be born. You have to kill him. Don't be afraid of him. Shimon ben Nesanel is Yirei Chet. The only way to conquer Oig Melech HaBoshan is through Yiras Shemayim. And Oig Melech HaBoshan represents Tisha B'Av, as we said before, which is the month of Av. The month of Av is the month of Shemayim. And we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to rectify Shimon. Moshe Rabbeinu rectifies Reuven. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalo for Reuven. He says, Yechi Reuven. Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu is misaken, sort of, even after Shavasa B'Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the luchais, but he's misaken that. He gives us the luchais shniyais. But Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to be misaken chodesh Av. The chodesh of Shimon, Moshe Rabbeinu is not misaken. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu does not give a bracha to Shimon. He hints it in the bracha of Yehuda, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, as the Bnei Yisoscha says, he's connecting Shimon to Yehuda, that's connecting Av to Nisan, that's connecting Tisha B'Av to Pesach. Oig Melech HaBoshan came to Avram Avinu on Pesach. That's why he's called Oig, as we said before. The round. Oig means circle, the round matzah. But the only way to conquer Oig Melech HaBoshan, which Oig Melech HaBoshan is Tisha B'Av, he represents Tisha B'Av, he represents the month of Av, the month in which we lost the Beis HaMikdash, the first and second, and the month in which we will be Zeicher to the third, as the Yalkut Shemayni tells us, that the third Beis HaMikdash will be built in Av. That's why right after the Gemara talks about Chamisha Asa Be'av, in Tainus it says, She'ibana Beis HaMikdash B'meherev Yomeinu. Ba'atora She'itur Elohimai B'yom Chasunasa V'yom Simchas Liboy. The Mishnah ends off there with Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which is a remez to Binyan Beis HaMikdash and Chodesh Menachem Av. As the Medrash says, that the lion, that's Nebuchadnezzar, as compared to the lion who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, which was called Ariel, which is a lion, in the month of the lion, which is Mazel Aryeh, which is of Leo, in order that Hashem, who's called the lion, Aryeh Shag Miloira, will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in the month of the lion. From that, Yalkut Shemayni and Melachim, it's clear that Menachem Av is designated for Binyan Beis HaMikdash, for the return of the Menachem Meshev Nafshi, Mashiach, whose name is Menachem. And perhaps that's the three Chevel Argives that we read about here, concerning Oig Melech HaBoshan. Oig Melech HaBoshan had a palace, which is the Le'umazah of the Beis HaMikdash. What Oig Melech HaBoshan had, the beauty of his palace and the 60 cities, the Shishim Ir, defined by the Beis HaMikdash, that there was part of it that was Shishim Amorkoi. The Chevel Argoiv, mentioned three times here, is a remez to the three Batei Mikdashos. By Moshe Rabbeinu conquering the Chevel Argoiv, killing Oig Melech HaBoshan, conquering the Chevel Argoiv here and giving it to Yair ben Menashe, who, according to many opinions, he was not the son of Menashe. He was really the son of Chetzrein. He was really a descendant of Yehuda. And his name hints to the future hidden light. Yair means he will light. Yair is in future tense. Yair, he will light. Yair ben Menashe. And that was in the time of the future when the hidden light that we mentioned at the beginning, the hidden light that lasted for 36 hours, that was hidden in the Torah, in the 36 Masechtos of Shas, and the 36 candles of Chanukah, Ben Menashe, which is Oisias Ben Shmoina. Yoyah Ben Menashe is La'asid Lavoi. Yoyah Ben Menashe was really a descendant of Yehuda, is the Neshama of Mashiach. Mashiach is going to conquer Yishmael. Mashiach is going to take over Malchus Yishmael, Golus Yishmael. And Moshe Rabbeinu helped out here by killing Oig Melech HaBoshan, who Oig represents Yishmael, as we said before, from the Megala Amukos. If you take the word Chevel Argoiv, it says here three times Kol Chevel Argoiv. Three times Kol Chevel Argoiv is Begamatria Kate Sam LaChoshech, which is the pasuk that tells us that the end of the darkness, the end of the Choshech of Golis. It's also equal to the word HaMashiach B'miluoi. But two times it says Kol Chevel Argoiv without a hay, and one time it says Kol Chevel HaArgoiv with a hay. So then it's equal to Shama Tzmiach Karen LeDavid. Tzmichas Malchus Beis David begins here when Moshe Rabbeinu kills Oig Melech HaBashan, meaning when Moshe Rabbeinu gets rid of Tisha B'Av, in a sense, Chevel Argaiv is taken over, and the Torah says it three times, corresponding to the three Batei Mikdashah, is given to Yoyer ben Menashe. Yoyer ben Menashe means he will light in the future, in the world of eight. Ben Menashe is Ben Shemayna. Yoyer ben Menashe is equivalent to 36 people, as Chazal tell us, receives the land of Oig Melech HaBashan, who Oig lives, slept on a bed that's 9 by 4, which 9 by 4 is 36 Amos. Moshe Rabbeinu begins teaching Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim is Begematria Yerushalayim. This is the Sefer that prepares us for Yerushalayim. This is the Sefer that prepares us for Eretz Yisrael. When do we start learning this? As we get ready for Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, the day that Yerushalayim was destroyed, Nechrusha Ha'ir, as the Mishnah says, the day that, as the Rambam says, Ben Kuziva was killed. That means Ben Kuziva, who Rabbi Akiva said was Mashiach, which means that he was. He was definitely the Neshama of Mashiach, but not at that time. He was killed. That's why he couldn't be. He was killed. So the Rambam writes, Ben Kuziba was killed also on Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av really is Leidas Mashiach. Tisha B'Av is the day that Mashiach is supposed to be revealed. Instead, what occurred on Tisha B'Av was the opposite. A potential Mashiach was killed. Ben Kuziba was killed on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, however, really was the day that we were supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael. Had the Meraglim not come back with the gossip, had they not given us the negative report, then we would have gone into Eretz Yisrael the next day, which was Tisha B'Av. It would not have been the day that it was decreed upon us not to enter. On the contrary, this would have been the day that we would have been entering Eretz Yisrael. Sichon and Oig, therefore, the conquest of Sichon and Oig is the bittul of the 3 weeks. Because Sichon is Shivasa B'Tamuz, Oig is Tisha B'Av. And when Sichon and Oig fall, that means that one day Shavuot B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av will fall. But we see here clearly that Tisha B'Av is more difficult. It's more difficult to get rid of Tisha B'Av than it is to get rid of Shavuot B'Tamuz. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have a problem with Sichon, but he has a problem with Oig. Hashem says, don't be afraid. But obviously he is afraid. He sees what Golus Yishmael is. Oig represents Golus Yishmael, the fifth Golus, the Golus that we're in right now, the Golus that the whole world is worried about. Everyone is concerned about Islamic terror. Everyone is concerned about the rise of Islamic fundamentalism and what might happen as a result. It's a worldwide fear. This is a global Golus. This is a Golus that is encompassing the entire world.
In China now.
Right? What's happening all over. And this was already prophesied in the Zohar. This is hinted to us in various places. Oig Melech HaBashan was the only one, it says, who wanted to actually kill all the Jews in 1 second. The Gemara says he picked up a mountain, Oka Tura Bartlosa Parsi, and he picked it up and he was about to drop it on top of Klal Yisrael, which would have wiped out the entire Klal Yisrael in seconds. And today we see clearly what Yishmael is out to do. The Islamics, whether they admit it or not, we know that their goal is to wipe out the Jewish people. Whether it means to wipe them out literally, physically, whether it means to convert them to Islam, whatever it is, the goal is to wipe out the Jewish people. The goal is to prevent Klal Yisrael from entering Eretz Yisrael. The only ones that have the chutzpah to stay on the Makom HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar did not stay there. Titus did not stay there. They exiled us, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they did terrible things, of course, and then they exiled the Jewish people, and they left. They didn't stay. The only ones who stayed, the only ones who are there now, and are still there and think they're staying there, that's the golden mask behind the Kaisel, a constant reminder to us that despite that we have the Kaisel Maravi, we are still in Golas. And they are there on top trying to prevent us, including the cemetery that they built by the eastern gate, to try to prevent Mashiach from coming, not realizing that Mashiach is not a Kayan, it doesn't matter anyway, and that the bones of Goyim are not Metama Be'oil. So too, Oig Melech HaBashan, his whole goal, the whole purpose of Oig Melech HaBashan was to prevent Klal Yisrael from entering Eretz Yisrael. That's why he was there. He was there to make sure that the Jewish people do not enter. Just as today, Golus Yishmael is trying to prevent the fifth expression of Geula, Vehevesi. Vehevesi, which is Begematria Mashiach ben David. Vehevesi, which is Begematria Tes B'Av. Tes B'Av, if you spell it, Tes Yud Tov, Tes B'Av is equal to Vehevesi. That's the fifth expression of Geula, the fifth cup that we pour on Pesach night, the night that Oig Melech HaBashan came to visit Avraham Avinu. He came because he wanted Avraham to be killed. He came because he did not want that there should ever be a Pesach. but instead there should be a Tisha B'Av. He's Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av tries to swallow up Pesach. But what's supposed to happen is that Pesach is supposed to swallow up Tisha B'Av. Pesach, we eat the hard-boiled eggs in the salt water after the Seder, some say, is to remind us of the Tisha B'Av. That if Chas V'Shalom, the Geula doesn't happen on Pesach, we hope that by Tisha B'Av it'll happen. That's why the Torah elaborates so much about Oig Melech HaBashan. The Torah elaborates about Oig Melech HaBashan now, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, not a few weeks ago, Parshas Chukas, which is before Av. The Torah talks about Oig Melech HaBashan on the Shabbos that we always read before Tisha B'Av, because he represents Tisha B'Av. He represents the month of Av. The month of Shimon, who Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to rectify. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be mesakein all the Shvatim except for Shimon. That's Mashiach's job. Mashiach is going to be mesakein even the lowest, even those Jews who are compared to the Arava on the Lulav and the Esrog. The Arava is the willow which doesn't have a taste or an odor. Those are the Jews without Torah and mitzvahs. Sefer Devarim represents the Arava. We know that the five Chumashim represent the four Minim of the Dalad Minim and the Jew who carries them. As they say, Sefer Vayikra is the one who's holding the Lulav and the Esrog. Bereshis, Shemais, and Bamidbar, and Devarim, they're different opinions, which Sefer is what. We'll assume now that Devarim is the Arava, because that's how it starts off. Eila Advarim Ashadib, Moshel Kol Yisrael, Be'eva Hayarden, Bamidbar, Bo Arava. And that's how it ends. Vaha Arava, Vahayarden, Ugevul. Sefer Devarim begins with Arava, Parshas Devarim, it ends with the word Arava. And at the end of the whole Sefer and Parshas, Vazaysa Abracha, we read about Ba'arva Ismoyev, which is Arava in plural. This Sefer is Keneged, the generation of Mashiach. Mashiach is going to be Mesakein every year, even the Arava Jews, even the Jews who have no Torah and Mitzvahs, even those who Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to be Mesakein. When Mashiach comes, Shimon has a tikkun, as we spoke about last week. Shimon is equated to Yehuda. Shimon will then be equal to Yehuda, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, and as it says in Sefer Yehoshua, which Rashi quotes there in Parshas V'zayis HaBracha, Michevel b'nei Yehuda nachlas b'nei Shimon, that Shimon took his portion of land within the parameters of Yehuda. Shimon's portion of land was given, it was given to him by Yehoshua ben Nun, together with the portion of land of Yehuda. And what's interesting is, when do we read Sefer Devarim? There's a custom that many have to read the entire Sefer Devarim, Hoshana Rabbah, by night. Hoshana Rabbah is called in Chazal Yom Ha'arava. That's the day that we hit the Arava. That's the day that we masak in the Arava. We take five Aravas. Sefer Devarim is the fifth Sefer. We start reading it now in the fifth month. And we know that Mashiach is going to reveal all the five levels of the Neshama, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida, which Yishmael corresponds to Yechida. When Hashem said to Avram by the Akeda, Kachno es bincha es Yechidecha, and Avram wasn't sure, who is the Yechida? Is it Yitzchak or is it Yishmael? The Akedah proved that Yechida is Yitzchak. Yechida is the Jewish people. Chas v'Shalom, the Yishmaelim do not have it. Even though they daven five times a day. And they claim that they have tznius. Oig Melech HaBashan had tznius. How was Oig Melech HaBashan saved from the Mabul? He was a Shoyme Bris. If he was a Pagan Bris, he would have died in the Mabul too. They bring down that Oig Melech HaBashan had to be a Shoyme Bris. He was Nizhar. He was a Tzanua. Otherwise, he would not have survived the Mabul. That the Yishmaelim say the same thing about themselves, that the way they dress, we know it's only external. And the five times that they daven, which Mohammed took from Yom Kippur, the day that we pray five times, the day that that the Kohen Gadol changes clothes five times, it's only on the outside, it's chitzonis, it's an illusion, it's not real. But this is why Yishmael claims that he is the chosen, and that he has the right to be on the Makom HaMikdash, the Mikdash which was destroyed in the fifth month. So we start reading Sefer Devarim now, the fifth Sefer of Chumash, where we read how Moshe Rabbeinu kills Oig Melech HaBashan, conquering the Chevel HaArgav, which corresponds to the Makom HaMikdash. Argav has in it the word, an Aleph Reish Gimel Beis. We know that the Mekubalim tell us, tonight's the Yahrzeit of the Arizal talks about this extensively, that there are the seven Midos and there are the Gimel Rishonos, the seven emotions, and then there are the three powers of the intellect, which Mashiach is going to reveal to us, the three powers of the intellect, known as the Gimel Rishonos, which is Av. Av is Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis is three, because Aleph is Keser, and the Beis is the two spheres below it, Chachma Bina. Keser, Chachma Bina, that's Aleph Beis. Aleph is one, that's the first, which is Keser, and Beis is the other two, which is Chachma Bina, or some say Chabad, which is the three, but those are the three powers of the intellect. And that's hinted in the word Argoiv, because Argoiv has in it a Reish Gimel, which is Gimel Rishonos, and then you have the Aleph Beis, which is Av. And of course, we're now in the month of Av. And the 3 weeks correspond to the Gimel Rishonos, as Reb Tzadok elaborates in Pri Tzadok, because the 3 weeks are really higher than the 7 weeks of the Nechama. The 7 weeks of the Nechama that are coming are happy now, but the 3 weeks we're going to be happy in the future. Notice the 3 weeks are really days that are associated with La'asid La'avoy, they correspond to the Keini Knizi Kadmaini, to Amayin Mayov and Edoim, especially this Shabbos, the third of the 3 weeks, which corresponds to the Kadmaini, as we end off, Eicha, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'Nashuv Chadesh Yomeinu Kekedem, Bereishis, which the Targum translates as Mila Kadman. The Shabbos before Tisha B'Av is the Shabbos that corresponds to the Madrega of Keser, the third of the Gimel Rishonos, in which it will be revealed in the third Beis Hamikdash. And that's why he says Chevel Argoiv 3 times in the parasha, which Moshe Rabbeinu conquers this area, giving it to Yoyer ben Menashe, Yoyer in the future. Yoyer means he will illuminate, hinting to us what's going to come. And this is the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, which encourages us that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to conquer Og Melech HaBashan. We can conquer Tisha B'Av. We can elevate the month of Av, the month of Shimon. Shimon has a tikkun. When the Chet HaMeraglim is rectified, when the Chet of Lashon Hara, of Sinah and Machloikas, which Shimon was the most responsible for, in the Chet of Mechiras Yosef, that's when Av has a tikkun. That's when Tisha B'Av is a Yom Tov. And that's when the big Yeshua will come. That's Yehoshua Tzivesi, Yehoshua is written with a Vav, and that was the complete Yeshua. The word Yehoshua comes from the word Yeshua, Yesha. And Yehoshua is written here with a Vav, and that was the Yeshua is complete. Like Hoshana Rabbah, the great Yeshua, which we call Hoshana Rabbah. We read the entire Sefer Devarim, Hoshana Rabbah, and now the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, when we all hope that immediately on Shabbos we'll go straight to the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi and we won't have to fast on Tisha B'Av. In fact, this Shabbos there's no Suda HaMafsekas. The halacha is you're allowed to eat Afilu, Kesudas, Shloimai, Beshatai, Shalashud. It's up until the last moment that you're allowed to eat. You're allowed to eat whatever you want, including meat and wine. There are no restrictions. This is unusual because every Erev Tisha B'Av we have to have a Suda HaMafsekas. We're not allowed to eat meat and wine in the last Suda. Of course, we don't eat meat and wine the entire 9 days if we follow Minhag Ashkenaz. This year, we had an opportunity to do it twice because there are 2 Shabbos in the 9 days this year. And hopefully, we'll be able to go straight with the Shalosh Shudas into the Malava Malka. You know, we know that we're very close. We know that it's imminent. We don't know exactly when, but we know that we're very, very close. And certainly, when Chazal told us that Tisha B'Av is going to be like Purim, but even greater, and Tisha B'Av is going to be just like by Purim, it says Mordechai ben Yair. The word Yair is used. Mordechai ben Yair. Mordechai revealed, gave us the Yom Tov of Purim. Here we have Yair ben Menashe, who conquers who receives Chevel Argoiv, which represents the third Beis Hamikdash. Loka Eskol Chevel Argoiv. He took the Kol Chevel Argoiv, the entire Chevel Argoiv, the entire area that originally belongs to Egmal HaBosh and is taken now over by Yoyer ben Menashe. That's when Tisha B'Av turns into a Yom Tov. Teisha Amos Arka. The length of the bed of Oig is 9 Amos. Teisha, these are the 9 days. The 9 days, Teisha Amos Arka, the Arba Amos Rachba, which on Tisha B'Av, the light of the Beis HaMikdash went into hiding. The light of the Beis HaMikdash was concealed, like the Or HaGonis was put away. On the same day, though, is Leidas Mashiach, the same day as the revelation of Mashiach, as the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said when the cow moved the second time, meaning that Tisha B'Av has in it the potential to be the day of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the day of Giloy HaMashiach, and Giloy, the Torah of La'asid Lavoi, which is the Torah of La'asid Lavoi, the Torah of Mashiach, is represented in Sefer Devarim, the 5th Sefer of Chumash, corresponding to the 5th level of the Neshama Yechida, which is going to be revealed when Mashiach comes, after Yishmael is destroyed. Just like Moshe could not reveal Sefer Devarim until Og Melech HaBashan was killed, Acharei HaKosei, so too, Mashiach, after the Melchemes Goy Gumogog, and after Yishmael has their downfall, Al Panei Kol Echav Nofol, that's when Mashiach will reveal to us the hidden secrets of the Torah, which tonight the Yartzeit of the Arizal began after Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai to reveal, the Arizal, whose Yartzeit is on the fifth day of the fifth month, and we begin now the fifth Sefer of Chumash, we should be Zoichet to the Geula Adidei Mashiach Tzidkeinu, who will be Mevatel Golus Yishmol, the fifth Golus, and he will reveal to us the secrets of the Torah, as the Rashi tells us in Shir HaShirim, and Yishakeinu Menashikos Pihu, and we should be Zoichet to read Eicha in a nigun of Megillas Esther. We shouldn't read it at all. That's the best. We shouldn't have to read Eicha at all, but instead, we should be able to dance together with Yoav and Menashe, together with Mashiach Tzidkenu, in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, and we should see the Yeshua, Chazoin Yeshayahu, we should see the Yeshua, and as the Haftarah ends off, Tzion Demishpat Tipode, V'shaveha Bitzdaka. The last two words of the Haftarah, V'shaveha Bitzdaka, are the Gematria, V'hu Yihya Pera Adam Yodai Ba'Kol V'yad Kol Boy, which means we'll get rid of Yishmael, the Pera Adam, through the Shaveha Bitzdaka. May we be zeichet to all of that immediately, and may we rejoice this Tisha B'av Mamash.